Hey, good morning, everyone. Rip from Label 56 here, with a bit of morning commentary and news to get you thinking about some things for the day. Just to start, as always, Label 56 is an independent music label and distro with an emphasis on supporting free speech. But as you see, we've expanded into some news and politics as well in an effort to combat the bias you hear in mass media and to encourage people to get politically active in their communities. You can find out more about us as well as check out our blog and everything else we do at www.label56.com. Now, today's show is one that I started taking notes for about 2 weeks or so ago, but I'm just now getting everything wrapped up. And while it's moved a bit from the headlines since then, the theme I'm going to talk about, as far as mass media manipulation in order to target your constitutional rights, will inevitably come up again. As you know, the media has been in an uproar recently, and for good reason. Well, partly for good reason, that is. There were at least 3 mass shootings that took place in an extremely short period of time. And yes, that is very concerning. But what is also very concerning is the way mass media was handling it. All 3, on the surface of things, do look to have been committed by what leftists affectionately call fucking white males, which does of course feed right into their agenda, and as expected, they immediately jumped on it and used it to set a narrative. And I'm going to get into this a little bit today, and I'm going to talk about these 3 cowards and how mass media spun their crimes to fit their agenda. Before I do, however, I do want to make a quick note and point out the new buzzword that Mockingbird Media has adopted. While everything before used to be racist, 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 they've now switched to using white supremacist. I guess someone sent out an overnight memo because everyone at the same time all switched from using racist to white supremacist. Alright, let's get into it. The first of 3 recent mass shootings that the media covered happened in Gilroy, California at a garlic festival. And I said there were 3 that the media covered because there were others that happened that they didn't cover because they didn't fit their narrative. But anyway, in this garlic festival case, an Instagram page that was said to be linked to the shooter was what the media used to define him as a white supremacist. There were 3 posts on this guy's Instagram, and the one said, "Read might is right," and it was followed underneath with another quote saying, "Why overcrowd towns and pave more open space to make room for hordes of mestizos and Silicon Valley white twats?" This post is what the media jumped on to set their narrative. While conveniently leaving out the part about white twats, they took the rest of that sentence and used it to say that he hated Mexican immigrants. They also referenced the book Might is Right and repeated over and over the claim that Might is Right is a book embraced by white supremacists. To try to make it sound even more sinister, some outlets didn't even mention the book's names, simply saying that he referenced a white supremacist manifesto that can only be found in the darkest corners of the internet. Well, let's look at that book for a minute. The claims that it is a white supremacist manifesto is more than a little bit off base. You know, it's not some new book written by some modern-day neo-Nazi racist white supremacist fucking white male. It was actually published back in 1896. It was written under a pseudonym, Ragnar Redbeard, and many people actually theorize that it was written by Jack London, as Jack London has a theme in the stories where nature's laws are the laws of life, and life is an endless struggle in which the weak won't survive. His stories have also been rather anti-authoritarian, with themes against government oppression and so on. But while many people assumed him to be the author, it's been pretty well established that it was actually written by a British-Australian anarchist named Arthur Desmond. As for it being found only in the darkest corners of the internet, well, I mean, if you want to call Amazon a dark corner of the internet, then I guess you can, but... Anyway, like I said, this book is what the media focused on. And as I said, there were 2 other posts on his Instagram, one of which was a picture of his Iranian grandfather. And it should be noted that he identified himself as half Iranian in his Instagram bio too, but this was never brought up. That itself would make me question whether this was a political or religiously motivated attack, but no, white supremacy is what they said. The other picture on his Instagram looks to be taken at the garlic festival itself, and it says, "Come get wasted on overpriced shit," which to me, if you're looking for ideological motivation, that would signify a disgust at a capitalist consumerist society. Personally, if I were to make a profile based on just this little bit of info, which is all mass media had, and combine that with the fact that he targeted people of all races, I'd place him as a far-left eco-terrorist, again, with the possibility of some kind of political or religious motivation. And now I'm not saying that environmental issues are something bad or something that only the left cares about, but you see it militantly ingrained in the left. And there are groups like the Earth Liberation Front that have been known to use terroristic tactics in the name of their ideology. You currently also have this radical Green New Deal-styled environmentalism being front and center in the agenda of the Democrat Party, with people like Bernie Sanders, Robert Francis O'Rourke, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and other far-left socialist Democrats demanding immediate radical action. But again, none of this was brought up. I mean, if I were a journalist looking for a possible motivation, these are the things I question. But for some reason, a book that is falsely labeled a white supremacist manifesto is all they focused on. Along with that, there was a press conference afterwards where they were talking about the investigation into the things that could have been radicalizing him. And one of the reporters was asking the questions, and he asked, was white supremacy one of them? The answer was no, but just ask yourself, why is that the first and only thing that they ask about? It did come out later that the Fed said they found a hit list targeting federal institutions, religious places, and targets that include both political parties, and that there was no defining ideology that was found. So obviously no one really knows his motivation. But this was to show you how Mockingbird Media takes a story and runs with it to set a narrative in order to put it in your head. They then use that narrative to take advantage of people's emotional state to push an agenda. Shortly after that, another coward shot and killed a bunch of unarmed people, this time at a Walmart in El Paso. In this case, there was a manifesto that was posted online, which at the time and to date, despite the Mockingbird Media's insistence, I'm not actually sure if they've actually linked this to him or not. But either way, if it is, like the Garlic Festival shooter, his manifesto referenced opposition to resources being used up due to overpopulation. It's also filled with other rants about college tuition costs, corporations destroying the environment, automation, pollution, etc. Again, New Deal-styled environmental issues. But nevertheless, like the Garlic shooter's Instagram, mass media seized on only a part of it, singling out words in it like invasion, and set the narrative that this was caused by President Trump's rhetoric. They called this guy a white supremacist, and then tied in Trump's words with the words that this guy allegedly said in the manifesto, and said that this kind of language causes this kind of violence, so it needs to end. And that is what this is all about. They want to regulate speech. Just to repeat it so it will sink in, I'm going to say it again so you'll be able to recognize their playbook in the future. Before the dust even settled, a narrative was set, the Mockingbird Media repeated it, and they reinforced it by having Democrat politicians on every channel yelling that Trump's rhetoric is causing white supremacist violence. Next time it may not be Trump's rhetoric that they're complaining about, but the playbook will be the same. In one sense, they actually achieved their goal, because in the heat of it, they did force President Trump to make a statement based on that narrative, which kind of surprised me, because usually he won't cave to Democrat pressure. But this time he addressed the country, and he did it based on mass media's narrative. And honestly, I found that speech really disturbing. I've been a supporter of his right from the start, and while maybe questioning some of his decisions, I've never really come out openly and done so, because usually there's an ulterior motive. But that one made me take a step back. To suggest working with online outlets who are already restricting speech to restrict it even more. You know, I mean, talking about restricting video games, implementing red flag gun laws. It was rather dystopian. I mean, there are issues out there that need to be addressed, but destroying our constitution is not the way to do it. Aside from that, people who blame video games, music, movies, or whatever, that's just a cop-out. I'll get more into it another time, but there are cultural issues that need to be addressed. The destruction of the family unit and the mass drugging the kids seems to be two of the common denominators in a lot of these mass shooters. Many of them are people who have grown up without fathers and are on some kind of psychotropic drugs. And these are the things that need to be addressed. But back to the words. They're blaming Trump's rhetoric for this guy's action, yet they said nothing about the rhetoric of Democrat politicians that cause violence. I'll address that a little bit more in a little bit too, but that does bring me to the next coward, the Dayton, Ohio shooter. Another fucking white male who was being called a white supremacist right from the start. As it turned out, though, this guy was a radical left antifa who supported Elizabeth Warren. And I'll link to our article in the show notes with screenshots from his Twitter, where he's got support for radical left gun clubs on it, as well as other posts praising communism, the workers' rebellion, and so on. Another tweet he shared showed support for the Earth Liberation Front, which, as mentioned earlier, is a radical left environmental organization. But before any of this came out, the same thing happened at the press conference as it did for the Garlic Shooter. As the police were taking questions, one of the first ones was this because of racism? And the guy giving the interview actually looked a little disgusted with the question, and he was like, no. But again, ask yourself why this is being asked and why they only ask about racism and nothing else. It's because they jump on a story before the facts are set in stone, and they push a narrative into the head of the public. Again, in the same way they forced the president to make a dystopian speech, they use this to force corporations, politicians, social media, or whoever else to do their bidding. And if we had a weaker president, there's a strong possibility that executive orders could have been signed, and Congress could have also been called back to session to enact even more restrictive laws. Fortunately, that didn't happen. But that's what they do, though. They take advantage of emotion and try to push their agenda through before the dust even settles. And by the time the truth does come out, the damage is already done. It is the use of emotion over reality and issues which in most cases the narrative isn't even legit. It's a psyop that they are running on the American people. And if you paid attention, you saw it exposed in real time. In one case, with the El Paso guy, you had a manifesto attributed to him that hadn't been verified, that the media and Democrat politicians were using to call him a white supremacist. And then on the other hand, you have a guy who has a very real verifiable links to radical left Democrats and Antifa that was completely ignored. Again, it's because there is an agenda. They want to regulate speech, but only speech for ideas or people they oppose. There is never cause to tune down the violence on the left. They continuously talk about Charlottesville and say that white nationalists are violent so they shouldn't be allowed to have rallies. But they never say anything about the Black Lives Matter shooter who killed 5 cops at a rally in Texas. As a matter of fact, you have cops getting ambushed and shot on a regular basis, but they never say anything about the anti-cop rhetoric from Democrat politicians or the left in general. They'll say tune down the rhetoric against illegal immigrants because it's calling violence against them. Yet after several attacks, including firebombings and shootings at ICE facilities, there's never any cause for Democrats to tune down the rhetoric against ICE and the Border Patrol, who are keeping our borders safe. And in the case of the firebombing attack on an ICE facility in Tacoma, Washington, in which an admitted Antifa member, Willem von Spronson, was killed in a shootout, he repeated words in his manifesto that were used by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, as well as other Democrat politicians and talking heads in mainstream media. But there's still not any cause to turn down the rhetoric against ICE and Border Patrol. As for Antifa itself, aside from the Dayton shooter and the ICE bomber, there are plenty of other cases where they have violently attacked men and women and children, and seriously injuring some of them as well, along with starting riots and destroying Starbucks and any other hipster stores that always seem to be found in the majority white, rich, and upper-middle-class neighborhoods. Yet the left has never disavowed them or told them to tune down their violence and violent rhetoric. As a matter of fact, CNN actually promotes these guys as being good guys. After Trump's election, mass media ramped up the anti-Republican rhetoric to the point where a man went to a baseball field and shot a bunch of Republican congressmen. Did they tune down their rhetoric after that? No, it got worse, and there are many cases of people threatening not only Republican politicians, but their families as well. There are plenty of cases of people wearing MAGA hats being attacked and badly beaten, people of all races and sexual origins. But does the media tune down their rhetoric against Trump supporters? No. They still call them white supremacists, racist Nazis, fucking white males. And again, these are people of all races and sexual origins. But this is their goal, though. They want to equate any kind of criticism of illegal immigration as white supremacist and ban it because it will cause violence. But it's not just illegal immigration. They want to label anything that goes against their agenda as white supremacist. But it's BS, and you see this exemplified by the way they call black, gay, and Jewish people white, racist, white supremacist Nazis. In reality, there are legitimate issues that need to be addressed in this country. And while illegal immigration can't be labeled an actual white supremacist talking point, because it clearly affects Americans of every race, there are things that white people as a group have every right to address. Not as white supremacists, but as a group of people who have issues that directly affect us. And being told we can't talk about our collective well-being because you've labeled it as white supremacist and won't allow any kind of mainstream lobbying on our behalf is one of them. The simple fact is, when you try to silence and deny the civil rights of any group or class of people, you're ensuring their exploitation and victimization. Despite what the left tries to tell you, racism, hate crimes, and discrimination exist across all borders, and yes, whites are victims of it as well. These aren't things that are exclusively perpetrated by white people against others, and we have every right to address these things. As we said many times over and over in our blog, civil rights and the right to represent your people is not something that should be only afforded to minorities. We repeatedly advocate for real legal political activism because we do need legitimate civil rights organizations working alongside the Black Caucus, NAACP, CARE, La Raza, etc. But that idea causes revulsion in the left because they don't think that white people should be able to advocate on our behalf, because they are taught and they believe that they live in a country where all of their problems are due to the white privilege that exists in our white racist system. So in essence, they want to dispossess us, they want to bully us, and they want to control us. And to do so, they'll take stories real or imagined about violent white supremacists and use it to oppose any kind of advocacy on our behalf, all while not only not excusing their own violence, but justifying it as being done on the moral high ground. And if you want to dig back into history, it's actually the left who laid the blueprint for political violence. In the early 70s, the Weather Underground declared the U.S. government the enemy, and among other activities, it carried out a string of bombings, including bombing at the Pentagon, the Senate side of the U.S. Capitol, and the New York Police Department. They were a radical left communist organization who took their name from a Bob Dylan song. And going back to music, you know, I'd never hear about Bob Dylan being mentioned as expiring in their bombings. It should also be noted that one of their leaders, Bill Ayers, was one of Obama's buddies. Ayers was also quoted by an undercover FBI agent as saying, quote, "Sometimes innocent people have to die in a revolution," unquote. The Symbionese Liberation Army was another radical left group that carried out bank robberies and murders in the mid-70s, and you'll remember them as being a group that was famous for kidnapping Patty Hearst. And as a matter of fact, the 60s and early 70s were known for leftist violence in general, with protests against Vietnam turning violent and so on. And I'm not saying there hasn't been right-wing people or groups involved in violence, but the idea being put by the left that this is exclusively a right-wing phenomenon is BS. What I do find funny is that you'll see these radical leftists calling people Nazis and saying they oppose Nazis because Nazis carried out a genocide. But at the same time, a lot of these people are admitted communists and advocate for communism and socialism. And it should go without mention that communist and socialist governments are responsible for over 100 million deaths in the last century. The logic that you can defend genocide and mass murder by saying that genocide and mass murder is only bad if it's committed by a fucking white male is really lost on me. But this is what they do. They use projection, they gaslight you, they play on your emotion, and they wrap it up in a mass media-run psyop in order to justify taking away your rights, whether it's banning speech or enacting new gun laws or even red flag gun laws which violate your Second and Fourth Amendment rights. Again, they jump on a narrative and ingrain it in your head in order to push an agenda. And these three stories are exemplary of it. I've seen many comments online from people who actually believe that mass shootings are exclusively done by fucking white male supremacists. And granted, the last three were white males, allegedly, but what they don't report was at the same exact time that these were happening, there was a black guy in Texas who was holed up in a hotel who was ready to commit a mass shooting. Fortunately, in that case, however, his grandmother turned him in and it didn't happen. You've got all these Democrat politicians and mass media talking heads ramping up hysteria about white supremacists, yet they neglect to mention that two of the more notable ones recently involved a black guy in Virginia who killed 12 people in a mass shooting, as well as the queer transgendered kids in the school in Colorado. They also neglect to mention the everyday shootings in Democrat-run gun control utopias like Baltimore and Chicago, which already have some of the strictest gun laws in the country. And when it comes to mass shootings in general, someone actually made a picture compilation of everyone who committed a mass shooting in 2019, and it's a very mixed group of races. We've also documented several of them that happened here in Baltimore in our blog, and I'll post those links in the show notes. And it goes back to what I talked about in the last podcast, about the fake outrage that Democrats exhibited over kids in Obama cages. They don't really care. They just use what fits their narrative, pushing an agenda. On this subject, and while running this PSYOP, they never mention the number of people killed by illegal immigrants. Just so you know, the 2018 fiscal year report for ICE states that last year alone, there were 1,641 convictions for homicide by illegal aliens. That document's linked in the show notes. While bringing up violent, racist, white supremacist Nazis, another stat to mention is the number of interracial murders in general. And I talked about this in my very first podcast. stats from 2008 showed that 504 white people were killed by blacks that year. The article I'm quoting from also says that the total for 2015 was up 12% from the 446 recorded in 2014, and up 22% from the 409 seen in 2013. So on average, you actually have more than one white person being killed by black Americans every day, yet this is never addressed. That article was also linked in the show notes. Along with that, an article from CNS News, which takes the stats from the archives of the Tuskegee Institute, states that between the years 1882 to 1968, which is a course of 86 years, that 3,446 blacks were killed by the Ku Klux Klan. Now that's over the course of 86 years. Another article from Huffington Post, which I'm only mentioning because it is an extreme left-leaning paper, puts the number at 3,960. And I'm using that just because that would mean that under 4,000 would be a generally agreed on number. Now compare that to the average number of black on white murders that I just mentioned. If the average holds true at over 400 a year, then you have more whites being killed by blacks in the last 10 years than blacks killed by whites in 86 years by the Ku Klux Klan. Now I'm going to go to another left-leaning outlet for this next one. An article from 2013 from PolitiFact states that, quote, the total number of black homicides in 2012 was 6,454, according to the FBI. If the percentages hold, that would mean 5,874 homicides were committed by black criminals in all of 2012. Now that's more black-on-black murders in 1 year than was committed by the Ku Klux Klan in 86 years. And let me give you another stat. The CNS article I quoted from earlier that used the Tuskegee report to relate the murders by the Ku Klux Klan was actually written to document the numbers of those killed by abortions. It states that in 86 years, the Klan lynched 3,446 people, and it says, while the Klan took 86 years to accomplish this, abortion on demand in the black community in America accomplishes that in less than 4 days. So there's a little bit of perspective for you. But the mind manipulators don't want you to take any of this into account, because they operate on emotional reality. So again, don't fall into their psyop. Destroying the Constitution and regulating speech, your right to defend yourself or whatever, is not the way to address these things. I mean, look at what's going on in Hong Kong. The protesters there are waving the American flag because they want our freedoms. Unlike these privileged white college kids who live in a free country and openly advocate for communism, these are people who are actually suffering and who have suffered under communism, who know no freedom. And again, they're waving American flags because they know how important our Constitution and freedoms are. And tyrants, I'm going to say this slowly, tyrants, whether left or right, know how important our Constitution and freedoms are as well. So keep that in mind while the tyrants demand that our freedoms be taken away. And if you are one of these people who feel the need to kill innocent people just to make some kind of political statement, because you're too incompetent to do actual, effectual, legal, political work, get some fucking help, man. You know, I'm not some radical Democrat who takes pleasure in seeing innocent people die just so I can push an agenda. It disgusts me seeing some ISIS jackass killing innocent people just as much as it does someone who claims to be a white nationalist. Targeting innocent men, women, and children is about the most cowardly thing you can do. But when you deny people the right to assemble, to advocate on their behalf politically and socially, while telling them they are evil white racists and constantly berating them, it's actually you who are creating these people who feel like they have no other option. But there's the real fight, though. And like I said, it's the nose to the grind political activism. The left seizes the reins of power through years of infiltration, buying up newspaper and media outlets where they can push their propaganda on you, the long march through the institutions, and everything else to get where we are today. Challenging these people in their own arena and fighting against their rules against people who say you can't have your own clubs and schools or your own political organizations or whatever. We live in a country where you're absolutely allowed to say what you want and be who you want to be. Just because they've taken control doesn't mean they can't hold on to that control. You want to make a name for yourself? Get a good education and become a lawyer to fight for our rights. You know, start a business where you can provide a good job to other people who want to start and support their own family. But whatever you do, get out of your basement and quit crying because you can't get laid. You know, go join a gym or something. Take some pride in yourself. Have a little self-respect. And encourage others to do the same thing. If you've got frustrations and you're pissed off at people, man, go join an MMA gym or take some boxing classes or something to take your frustrations out. You think you're some kind of hero because you shoot some little kid, but you're too scared to get punched in the face in the boxing ring. You know, you're not a hero, you're a bitch. As for the left, they are absolutely corrupt, both morally and legally. And they're playing overplaying their hand big time, and they're being exposed for the tyrants they are. And if people keep the pressure up, there's a real chance that they can be shut down. Look at Project Veritas, who continuously expose corruption to social media outlets and other far-left groups. You want to do something? They're looking for people to go undercover for them. You know, or just look up your own local social justice organization and infiltrate them. I guarantee they're doing something illegal. And at the same time, I bet you'll get lots of interesting statements from them on tape. I mean, I check your local laws for recording people first, but either way, expose them, shut them down. Look at what Tom Fitton and Judicial Watch is doing. I hear people all the time complaining that Texas will go blue and then all will be lost. Well, if it weren't for the very real voter fraud that's been going on in a lot of these states, there wouldn't be as many Democrat voters as there is. And some of these states might not even be blue states. In working through completely legal channels, he is actively getting cities to clean up their voter rolls and purge inactive or illegal voters. So learn from the people who are making real, effectual change and imitate them and see what you can do. And if you want to advocate, do it normally. Like I said, there are very real issues that affect us. I know people like being all edgy and emo, but quit wrapping things up in costumes or words to turn off the same people you say you want to reach. I don't know if it's real or not, so I'm not going to mention his name. But there's a website out there for a guy who led an organization here in the U.S. for a good 20 or 30 years. On the site, he says he's leaving it behind, and he apologized for spreading hate. Well, if anything, I mean, he should be apologizing to the white people in general for claiming to represent them while his organization marched around like jackasses, feeding into the Hollywood stereotype that gave mass media more than enough propaganda to destroy any kind of legitimacy for European advocacy. People like him and his group did irreparable damage to any kind of legitimate activism on our behalf. And think about it. I mean, you had a nationwide organization that was around for 20 or 30 years claiming to represent white people in a country that's 75% or more white, and you have maybe 100 members nationwide at any given time. Like, what's that tell you? But that's another thing, though. He apologized for spreading hate. But it shouldn't be about hate. And I think that's part of the reason these groups have failed in the past. Aside from adopting symbols that no normal white person would relate to, somehow the people running these groups were allowed to take it from being something productive to just hate, hate, hate. It was more focused on others instead of addressing our own problems and working for our own self-betterment. And I think a lot of times it did attract people with problems just because it gave them a scapegoat to blame the problems on. And of course those people embodied the Hollywood stereotype and likewise pushed away normal people. So you have a movement in general that was just a complete failure. Personally though, I mean, I've got friends of all backgrounds and there are plenty of people that I have respect for that I see working hard every day for their families and in their communities. You know, and then I go and I look at the white junkies and the bums and the prostitutes that I see daily in my city and I can never defend those people and nor would I want to. I mean, granted there are cultural and social and societal differences that exist in large groups of people, but you can't stereotype everyone in that large group of people. There's plenty of people of all backgrounds concerned with what's going on in this country who are actively trying to make a difference for the betterment of us all. It's my opinion that if your basis is built around the hatred of others, you know better than the social justice left who blame everything on a system of oppression built on white supremacy by those fucking white males. So man up and quit blaming your problems on everyone else. I always say at the end of my shows, stay positive and be active for a reason. Do something productive if you want to do something, but for fuck's sake, man, do it normally. And killing innocent, unarmed men, women, and children in no way makes you any kind of honorable or respectable person. Like I said, have a little fucking self-respect. Alright, I'm going to end this show, as always, with a song that I think relates to some of the topics from today. And going back to something I said earlier, the left bought up the newspapers and media outlets so they could push their propaganda on you. The internet changed that, and it gave a voice to many other alternative forms of information, and they lost control of the matrix that they were trying to create. That is the reason they want to censor the internet, and that is why they ban people on social media. It has nothing to do with hate speech, it is banning a speech that they hate. Like I said, there are problems in society that need to be addressed, but killing a constitutional right should never be a factor in that solution. This song coming up here is from Final War, and it's called We Speak the Truth, and it addresses many of the topics brought up in today's show. It also addresses the double standards of speech when it comes to race in general. And there's nothing racist about this song, but if you think there is, then maybe you're the real racist. Alright, I'll see you all next time. Stay positive and be active.
Freedom of speech is hypocrisy. They try and censor our music nationally. We rally fast, we speak.